I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, our regular edition of Neil Golden's wisdom here. He's a wonderful stock chart reader. And he's also the focus. He's the focus and the featured personality in a new documentary. Loosely entitled, it's not, I don't know if it's solid yet. We'll ask Neil as we go along, but Heartache with Religion is the name of the documentary on him, soon to be also the author of a new book. Neil, how are you?
Very good, Frank. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well. I'm thrilled to be, you know, part of your documentary, and I'm thrilled when I see it with everything that's coming out. You've touched on a little bit of everything, but actually, Heartache with Religion is an interesting title. Just tell me and tell the audience a little of what's behind that.
Well, it's basically, if you know a person's religious beliefs, you can almost predict his future actions in the same way that you can predict the movement of a stock by its previous direction and actions, in the sense that I'm saying basically religion is a good thing. It works for a lot of people and it's a beneficial thing, but sometimes people use it as a tool to get things that they want, and they don't do what is always the best thing for everybody concerned. You know, it's something like what I view is what's happening in Congress. Everybody wants to represent the rich, but nobody wants to represent the homeless or poor who need the most help. And in the end, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poor.
Yeah, I mean, that's historically been, unfortunately, the case. And religion, as wonderful as it is for many people, religion has been the excuse to go to war on so many different occasions over the centuries and the thousands of years that people have engaged in warfare. I can't imagine more people died in the name of anything else as compared to religion, right or wrong.
You're absolutely right. I mean, even in America, when we had our Civil War, hate to really get into this, but they were saying more people died in the Civil War in America than died in both World War One and World War Two put together. So internal strife is sometimes very hard to deal with, especially when it breaks the family up, the family unit. You know, mother against son, brother against brother, you know, dad against son, and stuff like this. So it's a very painful thing, and I think even Genghis Khan, the first sort of world ruler of the time, he knew that in war nobody wins and you lose a lot of friends.
Yeah, and no question, and it seems like no one cares about the homeless because they can't really do anything for you. And, you know, it's not like the homeless are a big voting bloc. They could be. I mean, if somehow, some way, they got organized and then, you know, if they were deciding elections, the homeless, boy, would people pay attention to them. But it's really not happening like that. It's, you know, like you said, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
True. And the things that one of the biggest problems right now is that they were talking about the opiate addiction.
Yeah.
And when you add that to the homeless people that are out there, and a lot of them need help, you know, in more ways than one because they have these addictions, it's a very complex situation that is not going to change, you know, like I said, anytime soon or anytime in the near future, no matter how much money you pour into the situation. We're going to be stuck with these people for a long, long time to come.
You know, there's a fine line between conspiracy theorists and realism on certain topics. And before I get into that, I'm going to remind folks of who they're listening to. Neil Golden is just a wonderful stock chart reader. If you're just tuning in or turning on your radios or your computers, you're listening, a wonderful guy who knows how to put things in very simple ways without talking down. And again, look for the documentary, Neil Golden, Heartache with Religion. Frank McKay here with Neil. Neil, just getting back to what I was about to say here, and again, not to get too off track, but there's certain beliefs that government has in order to keep, let's say, you know, the more urban communities or the African American community, the poorer communities historically down. They introduced like certain drugs into it. And again, I have no proof for or against, but let me ask you your opinion on that. They say, you know, like crack got introduced by the CIA or by the government. Do you see that, or do you see that as being even a possibility?
Yes and no. I know that I'll say yes in the sense that when Reagan was in office, he had Oliver North, and I guess there was something in Central America or South America. He needed arms for that.
The Contras,
to sell drugs only in the black community. And therefore, they would prevent another uprising or formation of the Black Panthers or Martin Luther King, who they swore was being influenced by the communists. And they wanted to put a lid on that and just keep poor people in general drugged out. And that's what happened, especially in the 80s. They had them walking around addicted like zombies to crack. So they started there, but then they started the war on drugs, which has been nothing but a complete failure. And now we have like heroin from coast to coast. And from what I hear, it's a nightmare even to take a car trip across the country. It'd be something I'd be totally terrified to do.
Yeah, well, you're bringing up a good point. And one of the points, and again, I guess this deals with socio-economical economic issues, and heroin didn't seem like a big deal to, you know, and again, I, let's just say it, to white America when it didn't affect them. Now, all of a sudden, since, I guess, the mid-90s, when Big Pharma started, pushing the prescription drugs, certain prescription drugs, Oxycontin is the one I'm thinking about, people started getting addicted to these prescription drugs and these things. And it wasn't only folks in Harlem or in the urban areas. It wasn't only the black folks or the Hispanic folks. All of a sudden, it was middle-class America and white America. And then, when these drugs became too expensive for people to afford, they realized that, you know, maybe they get a similar high from heroin. And heroin is $10 a bag or $8, whatever the heck you can say. But now, all of a sudden, it's an epidemic. And it's an epidemic that people are paying attention to because it's all over white America. I mean, do you agree or disagree?
I would agree that it is all over America. I know once I went to the dentist or whatever, and, you know, he gave me a shot of Novocaine, and then the next day he says, "How are you doing?" He calls me up. I said, "I'm doing okay." "Well, are you taking what I gave you?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, you better go to the store and get some aspirin." So I went to the store and bought, I don't know, aspirin or Buffrin or something like that, but that seemed to work for me. I just had to take it, you know, like a pill every 4 hours, and lucky for me, you know, my system or my stomach could tolerate it, and I got over the pain after about a week or so. But I've been sort of fortunate in that thing. I don't have any chronic pains where I'd have to take an opioid or something to that nature that's much stronger. And that I hear at one point you can get them very easily from your doctor, but they do cause people to have a lot of addictions. Yeah.
You know, going way back, well, I guess it's way back now, but it's a war that happened in both of our lifetimes. And and many of the listeners' lifetimes. Again, Neil Golden is the voice that you're going to be hearing in a second here, and Frank McKay here with him. And Neil Golden is a stock chart reader. Neil Golden, Heartache with Religion, is the name. At this point, is certainly the name of the new documentary on him. It is fantastic. He is wonderful. And some of the thoughts that you've been hearing here, and we encourage everyone to binge listen to the radio shows that we've done together. But let me ask you about Vietnam a little bit. And I'll preface it by saying this. I was with my father, my late father, who passed away in 2005, and a social study. He was a teacher. He was a mathematics teacher. And his friend, who was a social studies teacher, and he was talking about the generation that like was coming after me. And, you know, I'm 50 years old at this point, and maybe it was my generation. But he talked about how different the world was and the drugs and everything else that came along. And I asked him, I said, what do you think did it? And he looked at me like I was out of my mind. And basically, I guess what changed everything is what I was asking him. And he looked at me matter-of-factly and said incredulously, Vietnam. In other words, like that was the answer. Like everything changed dramatically after Vietnam. You know, drugs came here. I guess we stopped just accepting everything that and again, I'm not making his argument, but if you want to make his argument that was a pivot point, that was a turning point in history, you can make a pretty good argument because we stopped accepting what the government was telling us and spoon-feeding us and allowing us to believe without being questioned. After Vietnam, we said, wait a second, you're lying to us. Somebody's lying to us. Something's going on here. Now, right or wrong on Vietnam being a pivot point?
Yeah, I don't know everything about it, but part of the reason had to do with the fear of communism, in a sense, if we hadn't let Vietnam go, we would have turned communist, and so therefore the rest of Asia would have turned communist, and they would be against us too. So one of the reasons why we were there was not necessarily to get more oil, but it was to stop the spread of communism. And I knew at the time that there used to be something in Asia called the Golden Triangle, where most of the heroin came out of. But now, you know, we have places in, you know, Afghanistan and some of the Middle East countries where a lot of it is coming from. You know, they're growing poppies for it. And we're trying to give these people democracy, whereas they're, you know, ruled by dictators. So in a sense, yeah, it was our venture into Vietnam, I think, that really made it reliable, not only to our troops, but also made it very easy to transport it back to America and into the United States.
In some ways, is that not connected to religion? Because communism and stopping communism, communism is a godless doctrine or whatever you want to call it, you know, a belief, and it's godless. Do you think any of what we were doing and what we were preaching were new euphemisms to say stop the non-religion or that communism is an attack on our religion? I mean, can you tie what you and you say so well in the documentary about the Civil War being about religion? And at first people are like, what are you talking? And then when you really think about it and you do your research and you listen to what you say, it's hard to argue against it. Do you think communism and the war against communism has anything to do with religion or had anything to do with religion?
Yes, it does. In a sense, they aren't overly religious, but I not to say anything bad about Russian people in general. I know that they're very spiritual in one sense, but religion, it's against their you know, form of government, and the government really doesn't support it. Recently, just a few years ago, and there was a female band in Russia that held a concert in a church, and they immediately they were put in jail in Russia. But after 6 months, they were all released. I think the name of it was Pussy Riot. It was an all-girls band.
That's what it was, exactly. Yeah, I mean they're the bane of Russian government. That's for sure. They're very, very interesting, actually.
Yeah. So, in a sense of, like I said, I think Russian people are very spiritual, but their form of government prevents it being recognized, just like in the United States. Religion and government are supposed to be two and separate things. It has been that way for the most part since World War II. But in the Mideast, there is no politics. Everything is done according to religion. You know, that is the number one law that people try to follow. So in the world, we have the communists, and then we have mainly the Muslim religion, that where you know religion is everything. So we have from one extreme to the other. That's about as deep as I can get into it, but I don't really understand all the concepts.
Yeah, no, but you're listen. You're right on. You're right on with all of that. Frank McKay here with Neil Golden, a wonderful stock chart reader, author. A book soon to be coming out, and we'll let you know as we get a little closer with that. And also, Neil Golden, Heartache with Religion, is the name of the new documentary that you'll be able to see and witness and listen to. It's wonderful, and it's the thoughts of this man, Neil Golden. Frank McKay here with the Stock Chart Reader, and much more than that, social commentator. I mean, there's a lot going on. I know you're very modest. You don't like talking about all of that. But is there anybody that you listen to or that you follow and like on a regular basis? Or do you kind of pick up information a little bit here and a little bit there? Do you have anybody that you particularly follow on a weekly or a daily basis?
No, there is not. But I have to admit, I did have a mentor in my 20s. I did have a mentor that just happened to be an attorney. And since then, he's out on his own. He was in a book club that I used to belong to. And on a weekly basis, we'd have speeches or lectures about anything that was happening in the world and where the United States was heading and things like that. And it happened such a long time ago, and we'd sit down and, you know, on Fridays, and we'd be reading a book and discussing them. But my mentor days, as far as reading goes, those are long over with, you know. So that's where I think I increased my IQ a little.
Yeah, did you ever consider law?
Did I ever consider what?
Law, becoming an attorney.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I did. When I first graduated from college, I applied to one law school, and I had all the connections to get in and stuff like that. But I'm so glad I didn't go in the sense that, I was intending to be like a real estate lawyer at one point in my life. If I had done it at the time, I'd probably still be working today. So I'm just glad that it never worked out and that I never went to law school. But I'd like to say this also. I graduated from college around the age of 22, but I don't think I was really ready to go to law school until the age of 32. So
yeah.
There's a 10-year period in there that I just kept plugging away until eventually here I am today.
There are cynics who will say the words, if it weren't for lawyers, we wouldn't need any lawyers. and I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but I think you need lawyers, of course, to you know, to protect you, and there's some good ones and bad ones out there, just like I guess in any particular field. But I'm glad that I'm not an attorney. I'm glad that you're not an attorney. Somehow, I think it changes your perspective. We're just about out of time. What's an end thought you could think of? You know, and again, we'll get a little more into investing next time we speak. But world's going a little crazy. No one's thinking about the homeless people or the poor people. I guess they're just, you know, unfortunately, the welcome mat or the foot mat of the rich. It seems to be going in that direction even more so nowadays.
And then when you couple that with, you know, the cost of health insurance and the pharmaceutical companies, the money that they're making. One of the more ridiculous things I heard, you know, during the week or since I've last talked to you, is that for an EpiPen, it costs like $600, but for a substitute, it only costs $400. And maybe 70 years ago, you know, an EpiPen only cost $100. So I don't know how Congress can attack or fix such a problem like that, but pharmaceutical companies in America, you know, they're all about making as much money as they can, and they seem to be getting away with it.
Pretty horrible, actually, pretty horrible. But listen, not to end on such a sad note, but a happy note. Neil Golden, Heartache with Religion is the name of the documentary, soon-to-be-released documentary, and we'll give you all the details with that. Neil Golden, thank you very much for being here.
Okay, good talking to you, Frank.
Same here, Neil, and we want to thank all of you for tuning in. Frank McKay here with the subject of a wonderful biography and documentary at Neil Golden, Stock Chalk reader and also soon to be author of a new book, and we'll let you know about the details on that. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.